Now we're going to look at the second reading, which is from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 12. The reading is, they take 5 to 7, and then they skip 8, 9, and 10, and pick up again at 11, verse 11. We're going to consider those intervening verses as well, since we have the time, and it will help understand the context for that, the full reading, all right? So it starts off, you have forgotten the exhortation addressed to you as children. And then there's this quote, okay? We're starting with verse 5 here now, you see? You have forgotten this exhortation, which comes from the book of Proverbs, okay? My son, do not disdain the discipline of the Lord, or lose heart when reproved by him. For whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. He scourges every son he acknowledges. That's the quote. And then the Lord himself goes on here. Encourage your trials as discipline. God treats you as sons. Now, this is a letter. It may have been first a homily, but it's a letter, some of the most elegant Greek in the whole of the New Testament. And this small community, probably in Alexandria, has been undergoing a lot of persecution from the pagans and from the Jews, because the Jews look upon them as apostate. And the author is telling us, I say the author, why? Because, you know, nobody knows who wrote the letter to the Hebrews. We've got some wonderful, intelligent guesses, huh? Origen, very shrewd, one of our earliest commentators, gave a couple, and then he said, but to tell you the truth, nobody knows except God who wrote the letter to the Hebrews. One guess is the person who was with Paul for a while, Aquila, because he was an eloquent man and he knew the scriptures. And this man is a scholar. He knows the Old Testament, and his Greek is excellent. It's a different level of Greek, actually. So, but rereading now, we're at the end. We've just heard in chapter 11 about all the heroes of faith, remember? And that ends, yet all these, though approved because of their faith, did not receive what had been promised. God had foreseen something better for us, so that without us, they should not be made perfect, completed. Then he begins with the words we've already read. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us rid ourselves of every burden and sin that clings to us and persevere in running the race that lies before us. You see? And now the text begins, you see, in verse 5, which we've just looked at, you see? Where it says, you have also forgotten the exhortation addressed to you as sons from the book of Proverbs, right? My son, I just read it to you, do not disdain the discipline of the Lord, nor lose heart when reproved by him. For whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. He loves us. He wants us to be free of sin, so that now and in eternity, we can be more deeply joined to him, so that he can rejoice more deeply in us and we in him. You see? He scourges every son he acknowledges. You gotta bring us up. You know, we're baptized, most of us, as children. We grow up in a world where there's lots of example, lots of drive, lots of darkness, and we sin. Now, if we make our way back to God in a more serious way, he's got to discipline us so that we can grow up. Endure your trials, therefore, as discipline. God treats you as sons, whether you're a male or a female. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? At the time, all discipline seems a cause not for joy but for pain. Yet later, It brings the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who are trained by it. I would suppose that there are many people hearing this who know what that means, huh? To have been disciplined by the Lord. Failure, sickness, rejection, something. Humiliation. So that we get over our bloated egos and yield to God, begin to really love God the Father, really love Him, which is the work of the Holy Spirit, right? Jesus sends the Spirit of God in the other text in Romans. You see, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, the most intimate, affectionate, confident prayer you can say to God, Abba. And to say it, sharing in that movement of Jesus' heart back to the Father, is ineffable. It's beyond whatever we could do on our own. And so, you see, so we're sons, daughters, we're children. Well, then He's going to discipline us so that we can enjoy Him forever. And that's what this text is saying. Now, the discipline in this case is probably a persecution. So remember that. At the time, all discipline seems a cause not for joy but for pain, yet later it brings the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who are trained by it. So, and now he's alluding to another biblical text, so strengthen your drooping hands and your weak knees, make straight paths for your feet, that what is lame may not be disjointed but healed. Stay on the straight path. Even if you're limping along, sooner or later, because there's no more obstacles, you'll stop limping and you'll run the way of the Lord. But the beginnings, you're on a road and you're being disciplined and it seems hard. And then there are times in life when the Lord repeats discipline on a deeper level. Why? Because He loves us and He wants us to be ready to be with Him forever. You know, St. John of the Cross teaches that the heart of the dark night of the spirit, the dark night of the soul, is what? It's an heroic act of hope. I finally give up having any conscious or unconscious reliance on me. And I rely totally on God. And when I really do that, I'm relying on God. And God is infinitely powerful and infinitely loves me, and He is going to bring me to eternal salvation. And the more I start relying on myself, the more I am not bucking Him, the more He can have His way with me, the more He can save other people through me. Whether I'm a contemplative living in a monastery or whether I'm a missionary, you know, if the Lord can have His way with us, He can bring many others to salvation. There have been times in my life when I was very aware of that, and I knew that if I persevered in this purification, that God was helping people in India. So if I continued to persevere in the grace He's giving me, I'll see them. I'll be up in heaven with them, and they'll want to shake my hands. You help me along. By God's grace, not on your own. So you see, strengthen your drooping hands and your weak knees. Make straight paths for your feet, that what is lame may not be just disjointed but healed. Because after a while, if you're walking on a straight, good path, a narrow path, you'll get over limping and hurting, and you'll run the way of the Lord. And that's what He's telling us here, you see. This part of this, therefore, you see, it doesn't directly relate to the basic theme, which is the Catholicity, the universality of God's call. But it is addressed to those of us who at Mass on this Sunday hear first that call to reach out to everybody, and then how you're going to get ready to do that. Where are you going to get the clarity of mind, the courage to address your people, your neighbor, the guy on the bus, when you know you're supposed to talk, Where did you get the courage and the insight? From the Lord. And that happens as He purifies us. We're astonished to see the desire in our heart that everybody come to know the Lord. And so we learn wisdom on how to tell people about Him at the office, in the family, in the neighborhood, but peacefully. You see, I don't have to get a hold of somebody and say, here, come here, I'm supposed to preach, so you stand there and endure my preaching so I can be saved.
No.
I want to tell you about the Lord whom I know so you can be saved. And that's what this text is all about, you see? And so there is discipline, right? But endure your trials as discipline. God treats you as sons, children. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If he loves him, he's got to discipline him. Why? Well, you know, among other things, it's still original sin, right? Kids are rebellious, selfish. And as they grow out of that and are disciplined, what comes is such a beautiful, wonderful thing to see in a child. Love, confidence, joy, treating their brothers and sisters correctly. It's beautiful. And you know, if some neighbors are there and they see it, they say, how do you do that? I mean, my kids are driving me nuts. How do you do that? And you say, look, you just tell them about the Lord and then apply it, you know, when they're misbehaving, you know. Apply that lesson in love, not in anger. And you will be helping the Lord discipline them, okay? So now, if you're going through this, and we go through it several times in life, strengthen your drooping hands and your weak knees. Buck up. Why? Because the Lord loves you, and you can trust Him, no matter how difficult this is. You see? Make straight the paths for your feet, that what is lame may not be disjointed but healed. If you're walking on a good path and you got a bad knee, as you're walking normally without obstacles, the knee will get healed. So that's the exhortation, to be loyal to the Lord. Huh? Now the gospel acclamation that follows from that reading, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Alleluia, alleluia. Why is that? Why is that text used today? Because the Lord is saying, I am the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. Bring people to me. It's the greatest thing you can do for them. Because I am God, and I can bless them, heal them, direct them, console them. But let them come to me. Bring them to me. And that's why this is the universality of the call. It's sort of the theme for this Sunday.